Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the Monday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show here on Thanksgiving week. Hope you had a great weekend. Appreciate you being with us. We have a lot to discuss with you today. The aftermath of the Rittenhouse acquittal. How did the media react to it? What are they now saying? Since he is not guilty and the facts came out and were really not in dispute, did they change the storyline at all about Rittenhouse? Plus, there's actually some Rittenhouse audio from an interview with the Tucker Carlson we can share with you where he says this had nothing to do with race. You have the terrible situation in Waukesha where a driver ran into, it is at a minimum a vehicular mass murder situation or mass manslaughter situation. A driver ran and killed five, wounded dozens. And we're being told right now, it's very early. There's a lot of facts that still have to come in. We don't have clarity. We have on the motive. We do have an individual who is in custody. He is being questioned right now. He's a longstanding criminal. And we'll bring you more on that. There's supposed to be a press conference from the police in Waukesha at 2 Eastern time. So we'll be on air as that happens. We'll tell you what they are saying. Already, though, fights underway about the narrative, so to speak. What happened here? Why did it happen? They want you to believe, as I'm speaking to you right now, the storyline is that the man who is in custody right now was fleeing another incident. Daryl Brooks, 39 years old, from Milwaukee. They have the suspect in custody, and they're saying that he was fleeing another incident and somehow drove, and it's all on video, you can see much of it, drove into a parade and mowed people down. And the media report right now is he was fleeing something else. So this was almost like a horrible accident, they want you to believe. I don't buy that. I'll just tell you that right now. I don't know what exactly happened here, but fleeing another incident and mowing down people, I'm not buying it. I want to hear more about what's going on here. I want more facts. We also have big protests going on in Europe around vaccine mandates and lockdowns because places like Austria are seriously locking down. And Fauci, Clay, finally admits, we will definitely get into this in a bit. We got Dr. Scott Atlas, finally admits every 6 months, you're probably going to have to get the booster every six. If that's what it takes, that's what we'll do. Exactly what we've told you all along here. I just want to note, Clay, that we have. Let's start from the very top, so to speak, with Biden and Kamala Harris. This verdict comes down, and it was very clear from the video evidence, the testimony, everything, that Kyle Rittenhouse engaged in self-defense. Here's what Kamala Harris says about this very obvious and proper and just verdict.
The verdict really speaks for itself. As many of you know, I've spent a majority of my career working to make the criminal justice system more equitable, and clearly there's a lot more work to do. Thanks.
Well, the verdict does not speak for itself. I mean, she's clearly dodging and pandering at the same time, Clay.
Just like Biden did, Buck, because initially Joe Biden came out and actually said something somewhat normal, which was, hey, we have to respect, I'm paraphrasing, the decisions of juries in the United States justice system. And then later he came out with a public statement where he said he was horrified, and again, I'm paraphrasing, incredibly troubled and angered by the verdict. And so this to me is what goes on. Joe Biden, I think in general, is a fairly, at times, reasonable person. I don't think that Joe Biden controls anything that happens in the White House now, because I think he talked and gave that answer, and immediately all of the left-wing loons were upset that Biden had not condemned the verdict. By the way, Biden already called Rittenhouse a white supremacist, something that he should apologize for, and I think ties in with that awful situation of the people who were killed, murdered by the driver in suburban Milwaukee, which we'll get to much more, I would imagine, during the course of this show. But Buck, this is all part and parcel of narrative trumping facts and what goes on in America today. Everyone on the left wing, as soon as Kyle Rittenhouse killed two people in self-defense, because we now know that he did it in self-defense, The jury has looked at all the evidence. You and I looked at all the evidence. We told our audience that the evidence reflected that this was just a self-defense case, that there was no racial element to it at all. They immediately brand him a white supremacist, even though the people he shot were white, even though it was self-defense. Look at what's going on in the situation in Wisconsin right now, where the black driver plowed through a Christmas parade and killed multiple people. We are immediately told by the same people, this does not involve race at all. And this is what gets me so fired up, Buck. Almost immediately, every single time a incident happens in America now, it is a basic race, who is to blame. And when it is a white guy, it is immediately evidence, no matter what the white guy's motivation might have been, that America is an awful, racist, white supremacist laden, horrible country rooted in systemic inequality that demands equity. And this, you saw this, Buck, we were texting about it over the weekend. CNN comes out and says the biggest threat in America today is angry white men, right? This is a storyline that is immediately propagated whether race is involved at all. When any other race is involved, the story gets memory hold, and it's as if it never occurred. Race had nothing to do with it at all, time after time after time, which is why people are so skeptical of so much of the media, because it's narrative over fact.
You particularly see the battle, Clay, that you're describing, the battle for the truth, really, that you're describing in cases involving terrorism in the past.
Yes.
And I used to do this at, I've done it many, many times at Fox, at CNN. And what you get from the lib perspective, so when you go on CNN, you always know, to your point, if it is a white shooter or a white assailant, there is zero expectation of waiting for the facts to come in.
Correct.
There is zero demand that we don't know the true motivations here. Meanwhile, when you have a non-white attacker, terrorist, whatever it may be, in a situation like this, a very high-profile mass casualty event, immediately you're told, not only wait for the facts, but then it very quickly turns into, you can almost see the transition happening in real time. We may never know the motive, Clay. And yes. I just want to give folks some examples of how absurd that has been in the past. Now, I'm not saying this is a, to be very clear, there's nothing to suggest this was a jihadist incident, but I'm going to talk about the narrative games they play in the media in the past with incidents like this. Pulse nightclub shooting. We had transcripts of that guy saying, I'm doing this for ISIS and for Allah and for, you know, Islamic Jihad, whatever. We had him saying the FBI excised words from the transcript. And you still had people saying, well, was it a hate crime or was it actually jihad? Or we may never know the narrative. They play this, we may never know the narrative game in ways that are insulting to all of our intelligence. How often does, let's step back and look at this incident here in Waukesha. How often does a bank robber who's trying to get away, because they're telling us there was a stabbing incident. We'll have more information later on the show when they do the press conference, but a stabbing incident. How often does a bank robber, let's say, decide that they're going to try to escape and they're not, this is not in Midtown Manhattan. This is in a small town in Wisconsin. They're going to drive through a parade as part of their panic escape attempt? I'm sorry. That's asking us to believe too much. Is it possible that he was trying to escape, saw this parade, and then lost it and decided, I'm going to run down there was actually a group called the Dancing Grannies that were among the casualties here. That to me is possible, but that this was all some accident, heat of the moment, he was just driving, absolutely not.
Well, here's the way to think about it, Buck. And I always, on this show, I believe every single day we are red-pilling more people, because they're looking at the media and they are saying this doesn't add up. What we are being told is artificial. If a black group parade had been going on, and if a white guy had been fleeing some smaller, lesser crime, and he had plowed through the black parade, right? A parade, let's say it's celebrating, let's say it's a predominantly black institution. They're having their homecoming
parade. If it were
a
Kwanzaa parade, for example.
Anything that could be going on. Would anyone in the left wing of the media be willing to say, oh, race is not involved in any way in this incident? It just so happened that a white criminal who has a long record of checkered behavior was fleeing this incident, and he drove right through a black parade, wounded dozens of people, killed many, and race was not involved in any way. They would. And then Murbuck, because this guy, this black guy who drove through the parade in Waukesha, this guy had BLM support in his past, right?
On Facebook, yes. They've identified social media accounts.
He also had published some rap songs that were very much anti-Donald Trump, right? What I'm saying is, if there were anything associated with this white guy in his past that anybody could identify that were in any way race-related, it would immediately be characterized as a hate crime. It would be evidence of how unsafe America is with these white terrorists, domestic terrorists running everywhere. The FBI and the DOJ has to investigate them more. That is the story. And everybody out there listening knows that would be the story on CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post. All of them would be running with it. 100%.
They're allowed to rush to judgment never apologize for it. And then they use the apparatus of the media to essentially threaten everybody from just coming to basic conclusions in the early stages, because delaying the public's recognition of what this is part of the narrative creation. If we find out this guy's motivation next week, if they finally say, yeah, it turns out he actually decided that he was going to mow down some people because he was angry, let's say, about Kenosha, or whatever the reason may be, that's obviously when the people have put out there, it doesn't have the same impact a week or two later. They've moved on to other stories. So delaying the narrative is really just a means of trying to lessen the impact that it has on the public psyche.
It memory holes it.
That's exactly what they do so many times in the past. And I'm just going to say this. You can see on the video, the way they're reporting on this, it makes it sound like this guy was traveling at high speed down an alleyway and just happened to find, oh, no, he ran into a parade full of people. That is absolutely not what is apparent on the video. He lines up behind hundreds of people packed together, walking in a parade, you know, down the middle of a street, and mows dozens of them down. Dozens of them. Police shot at him to try to stop him from mowing people down. This wasn't a car accident because a guy was fleeing during a bank robbery. Something else happened here. And I'm not going to let, and I know you're not going to let the lib media get away with acting like we're all too stupid to see that something doesn't add up at a minimum with what they're telling us. And I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot worse than that. I think we're going to find a lot throughout the course of the day that supports a narrative that the left doesn't want us to hear or to know. Black Friday is this Friday, folks. It's the annual tradition of retail stores giving you out-of-the-world crazy prices to attract you and your holiday gift list. But Pure Talk Cellular says, why wait when you can buy an iPhone 12 from them for just $479? Pure Talk is the same company offering you a $30 a month price on unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on a 5G network. That service is on the exact same 5G network using the exact same towers as one of the big carriers, for a lot less money. In fact, Pure Talk saves the average family over $800 a year. Clay, how do folks switch?
It's incredibly easy. All you get to do is you get to keep your phone number and your phone. And all you have to do, think about this, is get your phones in your hand right now. 30-day risk-free guarantee, nothing to lose, from your cell phone right now. Dial #250 and say Pure Talk. That's it. You save 50% off your first month, and you can also save on a new phone if that is your desire, just in time for the holiday season. Again, with your phones in your hand, join tens of thousands of other smart listeners and go with #250. Say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I am down here in North Florida on the beautiful Florida Gulf Coast. And Buck, we got a monster audience down here that listens to us every single day. I stopped in on the way to the studio to fill up with gas, and multiple people in the gas station were listeners, and they were like, hey, I'm looking forward to listening to you at 11 a.m. Central down here, all from Pensacola down through Panama City. We spend a lot of time down here on the 30A area. I'm down here for Thanksgiving. I know a lot of you are starting to travel out there. Encourage you, download the podcast. Maybe you need something to listen to. A lot of people are going to be hitting the roads to go meet up with their friends and family, contrary to Dr. Fauci's demands and dictates, which we'll get to during the course of the show as well. We've got Dr. Atlas who I think you guys are going to love at the top of the second hour. It's a shame that he has not been in charge of America's COVID response for much of the past year and a half. But Buck, we were talking about how narrative trumps facts. And I want to play this audio clip from MSNBC. This is Tiffany Cross there. She calls Kyle Rittenhouse a little murderous white supremacist. And obviously, there's no evidence of this. In fact, we'll play some cuts from Kyle Rittenhouse in a bit. But I want to contrast this narrative with the one that is coming out of the incident that happened last night with the Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Listen to Tiffany Cross on MSNBC, play cut five.
I find these people disgusting. I'm disgusted at what I'm seeing. It's not just this trial, it's other trials. But this in particular, the fact that white supremacists roam the halls of Congress freely and celebrate this little murderous white supremacist, and the fact that he gets to walk the streets freely, it lets you know these people have access to instituting laws. They represent the legislative branch of this country.
No, he's neither a murderer nor a white supremacist.
Correct.
I mean, but legally, clearly, not a murderer. So that's actually just an inaccurate thing to say. And we still have yet to see any actual evidence for this alleged white supremacy with Kyle Rittenhouse. If a white guy being attacked by three other white guys is somehow, you know, and defending himself is white supremacy, then the term no longer has meaning. But what you realize is that's actually the point. It's now just a slur that's used for anything the left wants to attack and destroy. It doesn't have to have any connection to racism, actual white supremacy. It's just, you know, that's bad. I hate it. Let's call it white supremacy. And unfortunately, it's been very effective as a tool to deploy, as a weapon to deploy against people. But I think, Clay, people might start to change their minds about how much they will put behind these allegations, how much they'll listen to this stuff.
I don't have any doubt at all. And I just want to contrast with you, Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty by reason of self-defense of shooting three white men, yet he's being branded a white supremacist all over the place on MSNBC, CNN, The Washington Post, and The New York Times for months. This guy, a black man, drives, kills multiple people, white people, in a Christmas parade. There is evidence in his background of BLM support, of anti-Donald Trump raps, of anti-Jewish statements. Again, this guy. Yet anybody suggesting that race might be an issue there when you have a black man killing white people is totally unacceptable. Yet a white man killing other white people is evidence of white supremacy. This is narrative over fact, Buck, and it's so frustrating. Because what it does is divide so many of us that have so much more in common, white, black, Asian, and Hispanic. It's all identity politics driven. We'll continue to talk about this and more. But in the meantime, we can save you up to $12,000 right now in a year. How much difference could that make? How about being able to skip a couple of mortgage payments down the stretch run here of the year? It could make a tremendous difference for you. All you have to do is call American Financing at 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. How much difference can this make in your life? What would $12,000 extra dollars mean for you? What would skipping a couple of mortgage payments? You need to call today, 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109.
The jury got it right in finding Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty on all charges. The reality is that the fact that these charges were brought before there was any serious investigation into what occurred is evidence that the government was actually motivated by politics from the beginning, which in and of itself should be considered criminal.
That is Tulsi Gabbard saying what we all understand to be the situation here about the Rittenhouse trial and the aftermath. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. They formed a narrative right away, and it wasn't just a question of what the media was saying about Kyle Rittenhouse and the defamation of him, including by Joe Biden when he was a candidate, not the president, which some say might open him up to lawsuits in a way that would not have necessarily been anticipated. But you have the Rittenhouse not guilty verdict, and now a lot of people looking around saying, where's the accountability in the media? And it's not just for what they said that was wrong in the last few weeks, but the first few weeks, right after the incident happened last summer of June of 2020, when Kenosha was burning because Biden voters were upset about something. And we are supposed to now think that somehow they're going to be better going forward, that they're trustworthy. That all factors into the discussion that we're having about what's going on in Waukesha, where you have a guy who was out on bail for 2 days. Okay, he was just released 2 days, and they haven't told us anything about this knife incident that they're saying is what he was fleeing from. This is the reporting from earlier this morning. There's a press conference coming up at 2 Eastern by police. We'll know more then, but in the meantime, we are supposed to believe that this individual, Daryl Brooks, fled an incident and then happened to find himself at the one place where there was the greatest concentration of people on the street possible, the most helpless, defenseless, innocent civilians possible. And on video, and people have seen it, I've seen it, it's horrific, be forewarned, it's tough to watch, clearly lines up the car and then just starts mowing people down. He doesn't blast through an intersection and doesn't see who's there or something else. He pulls up behind them, lines them up, mows people down, dozens of them. Already killed five, probably more are going to succumb to their wounds, including the old and children. Notice how they didn't wait at all before Rittenhouse was a terrorist, a terrorist, an insurrectionist, a white supremacist, all the way up to the top of the Democrat Party. Meanwhile, here we are, Clay, being told, don't say anything. Don't jump to any conclusions. If you do, we'll hold you accountable. We'll shut you down. But there's an obvious double standard here with one side gets to just say whatever they want and try to score political points against Kyle Rittenhouse. Right now, I just want to know what happened. I'm actually not interested in scoring any points, but I have a very hard time believing that this suspect, Daryl Brooks, career criminal, including, I believe, on the sex offender registry, was just happened to be evading and got to this place and ran over these people. I do not believe that.
It's also, Buck, how often do you see a situation where someone is fleeing something relatively minor and they decide to commit a crime that is infinitely higher, right? Let's just say
this is mass murder. This is
mass murder, right? I mean, there's a big difference between, oh, you had a knife and you weren't supposed to have that knife, or candidly, you commit a robbery or you commit a burglary or whatever it might be, and you drive your vehicle at a high rate of speed through defenseless people and mow them down, dozens of them. Look, if he's fleeing, and I'm not an expert on fleeing from police, I hope I never have to do it, right? But he's pulling up. I've watched a lot of movies, Buck. He's pulling up near a crowded parade. If he parks his car, gets out, and just gets into the crowded parade on foot, he probably can get away, right? Because there's hundreds of people in that parade. How many times have you seen a movie scene where somebody is fleeing from police and they pull up in a crowded area and just disperse into the crowd and vanish? If his goal is to flee, the least possible way to avoid drawing attention to yourself is to drive through a parade, mowing down people, driving over them, killing them. You know that you're going to get more attention that way. The logic just doesn't add up in any way.
And you're going to be caught.
No doubt.
I don't think that this guy could have believed for 1 second, I'm going to run over dozens of people in this town where the whole town is focused on this parade, and then I'm going to make my escape from the knife incident. It doesn't add up. Now, here's what I think they're going to say. They're going to try to make sure that there is no, what they want to avoid is the belief that this individual had, and maybe it did come on him quickly. Maybe he did have some kind of a breakdown of rage in the aftermath of the Rittenhouse verdict. As you pointed out, and this is already, I was talking to a friend, a reporter this morning, says, yes, they have social media pages. Yes, a lot of BLM stuff on the pages. But, you know, that
anti-Trump, anti-Jewish, yeah. Like there's lots of negative. If this had existed for Rittenhouse, right? If there had been anti-Kamala Harris postings, anti-Joe Biden postings,
there's a double standard.
It would have been out immediately, and it would have been like, oh, look at this white supremacist. Here's his Facebook post. It's clear what happened.
Right. So now they're going to tell us that somehow this guy ends up fleeing the other incident and running into this crowd and getting away. I mean, if the facts we've already said were different here, there would already be conclusions being drawn. And even if the conclusions were wrong, let me add, as they were about Rittenhouse,
yes,
they wouldn't care. They wouldn't care. Right now, though, the game is anyone on the right goes too far or anyone says anything that turns out not to be true, and they become held up as the disinformation
basically
person.
Any white guy does anything bad, and it's evidence of white supremacy immediately.
So,
anybody else, and it's not evidence of anything other than their being a poor decision maker.
So here is what they don't want anyone to think, that this guy in any way had animus because of the Kenosha verdict or just animus against white people in general that resulted in him hitting the accelerator and mowing everybody down. Because the left doesn't want to have to deal with that incident. What they're going to tell you is he was fleeing and he has probably, you know, a history of some kind of either substance abuse or mental illness. Maybe he was high and he completely lost his bearings. And that's what I think they're going to tell you. And I'm just saying, if that is what they say, Clay, I do not accept that that is what happened. If that is the storyline, that he just got disoriented and mowed down all these people. No, not credible. It's just not credible.
Well, and this is where we are. Right. And this is why, in many ways, I think the media, particularly the left wing in this country, has become such a divisive force. Because what happens? You know this, Buck. As soon as this story came out, the question was, who is going to be to blame here? If it had been a white guy, then immediately the left wing would have said, this is how toxic white supremacy is in America. Look at what just happened in Waukesha. And as soon as it comes out, oh, it's a black guy who does it, then there's no reason to discuss any motive other than this is a guy who made bad decisions going forward in his life. That's
also
the way this works.
If people want to know what Democrats are really thinking about, some of them, obviously just some of them, but this is someone who is a, I'm trying to think, she's the social media manager for the Democratic Party of DuPage County, Illinois. She went on to say, in the immediate aftermath of this mass murder, mass casualty incident, quote, it was probably just self-defense, hashtag Kyle Rittenhouse. So just understand there are lunatic leftists running around who are tying it to Rittenhouse already, just not in ways that any sane human being would ever do. Legacy Box is a simple way to digitize the family videotapes, film reels, and photos you're holding on to. Legacy Box has helped millions of people safeguard their important recorded moments by digitizing them by hand right here in the U.S. I'll give you a great example of just how talented and the kind of white glove treatment your memories will get. The team at Legacy Box got a box of old films, family films from the 1940s and early 1950s, still intact. Carefully, they digitized each of those film reels so they could be seen again and enjoyed. And they did it and kept the integrity of the film reel and every image. That's film going on 80 years old. Legacy Box is the best gift for you or a family member. It's what Better Homes and Gardens calls the most sentimental gift to make this holiday season special. Plus, with their Black Friday event, more families can reclaim priceless footage with an insane 65% off. Clay, how do they do it?
Well, it's the best deal of the year during the Black Friday event with Legacy Box. All you have to do is go to legacybox.com/clay to save 65%. That's legacybox.com/clay for 65% off. One more time to save 65%. Incredible offer in honor of Black Friday coming up this Friday. legacybox.com/clay. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. As you get ready for your holiday travels, first of all, be safe. Tons of people are going to be out there on the roads as many people gather all over this country and around the world to celebrate Thanksgiving. Want to make sure you search out the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton podcast. Biggest podcast download month ever in the history of the show in October. We want to set another record in November and keep it growing. Clay Travis or Buck Sexton. Scott Atlas is scheduled to join us in the next segment for the latest analysis of what's going on in the world of COVID insanity. And I wanted to play this for you because yet another time where Buck Sexton and I are proven right. What do we tell you? That based on the nature of these vaccines, everybody was going to need to get boosters. because they fade in efficacy very quickly after about 6 months. Let's just be clear about this. If you're over 65 years old, this can make a lot of sense to do. My in-laws are down with us for Thanksgiving. They got their boosters already. My parents got their boosters. Buck Sexton's parents, also in that same age range, got their boosters. But to the rest of us who are either with natural immunity or have already gotten our vaccine, do we need to really be getting the COVID shot every 6 months for the rest of our lives? Fauci says, yes, play cut 15.
We would hope, and this is something that we're looking at very carefully, that that third shot with the mRNA not only boosts you way up, but increases the durability so that you will not necessarily need it every 6 months or a year. We're hoping it pushes it out more. If it doesn't, and the data show we do need it more often, then we'll do it.
Can I just say, the usage of the term hope here repeatedly is the tell. First of all, the fact that Fauci is always talking about dynamics of infection and things, why does he's trying to impress stupid people by saying, oh, he's the smart guy who says the things like dynamics of infection. But beyond that, he's saying hope, they have no data.
There's zero evidence that this is going to suddenly end the need for more shots. Zero, right? And so the idea that that's going to happen is just absolutely ludicrous. So how many? What's the over-under here, Buck? How long are people going to need to get shots?
A very long time.
Like forever? Forever. Like how many shots are we actually going to need to get? I mean, I think that's the question, and there's no answer for it. And I don't think Scott Atlas is going to have a good answer for it either. And he's going to join us next.
Yeah, no, he is. He is going to join us, and he's going to be explaining to everybody how it is that Fauci comes to this designation where he says maybe this time the shot will be the last one or will last a lot longer. That goes against all we've seen is the shot is actually less long-lasting than they thought. With each passing month, even more failure in terms of prevention of infection. Breakthrough cases isn't even really a term you'd think that they should use anymore. And because it's just happening all over the place, right? The breakthrough makes it sound like, oh my gosh, it escaped from the lab. No, it's actually out there and it's constantly happening in pretty large numbers. What I mean, are we really going to say that if 30% of new cases are in the vaccinated or 25%, that that's some breakthrough? I mean, no, we were told this was going to stop infection. And we've also seen the virus mutates pretty rapidly. We've had numerous variants. We've all become familiar with that term in a short period of time. And so what makes anyone believe that this will be different? Well, it's just like everything with Fauci. Forget everything he's told you up until this point, and then you can believe him. But if you look at the track record of promises made in the past, of the incrementalism as it has played out with regard to vaccine mandates, with regard to mitigation measures, lockdowns, everything, what they say a few months ago goes to show you that they don't really know what they're telling you today. But they're going to act like they do so they can make you do what they want. And that's where Fauci is once again. What? They're going to have boosters, Clay, for everybody? They're just opening it up to everybody, but they're not going to start mandating it for everybody? You work for the federal government, guess what? You're going to be first. They're going to say you get the booster every 6 months. That's going to be the plan.
And what's unique about this is, after all of this, effectively the COVID shot is the flu shot. And if you contemplate historically, you may be able to think of somebody, Buck. I can't think of anyone that has ever lost their job over the failure to get the flu shot. I can't remember it ever happening in the history of the country. And so right now, thankfully, the Fifth Circuit has got OSHA not implementing this newest vaccine requirement. But it seems to me what they are desperately hoping is that if people go out and get the booster, it gets us through the winter. They can claim that the boosters had some level of success because we know with seasonality, the numbers are going to go down until they start to go up again in the South because it gets hot and everybody goes inside. And that is the season when really it spreads widely. And hopefully we're not going to have another Delta variant, but this is just not going away. And so at what point is there this recognition and realization that you're not going to be able to get your shots and end COVID, because that's what they told us. That's what Fauci came out. Remember, it wasn't that long ago, back in May, where they said, get your shots. This is over. You don't have to wear masks anymore. And now we're right back effectively to where we were before. Buck, I believe I'm correct. There have already been more deaths in November of 2021 from COVID, even with all of the vaccines, than there were in November of 2020 last year, when we were told that it was totally unacceptable.
Think about how many deaths there have been overall this year, as we've discussed, more this year than last year in the United States. Last year, there were, we know this, 0% of the U.S. population vaccinated. This year, we have, what is it now, 60% overall, plus you have another year of natural immunity built up, too. So then the numbers, if you believe the vaccinations are highly effective, and I do believe natural immunity is highly effective, the numbers should be quite, you know, certainly much smaller than they were last year, but they're not. Now, I understand they could say, well, we didn't really get the shots out till March. Okay, well, what if we even control for that? What happened this summer? What's happening this fall? They keep saying it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I think we can give this a few months, and they're going to say it's a pandemic of the unboostered.
Yes.
And that if you are unboostered, you will become the new enemy, because vaccine failure will be so widespread at that point. They won't be saying breakthrough cases anymore, but you'll be a reckless danger to the community if you don't get the booster. And I'd also just put this out there. Australia is actually taking people in military trucks now to quarantine sites, and it's mandatory. Okay. That's what they're doing in Australia, everybody. Do you see Fauci come out and say that's a bad idea? That's a little too far. That's a little scary. It's never too far for the Fauci.
And the key is, it's not going away. And Dr. Scott Atlas has been making these arguments for a long time. I'm fascinated to hear from him. He's got the inside story of what went on in the Trump White House down the final days, as Fauci and Birx attempted to make their arguments about what should and should not be happening. He's up next with us. COVID insanity, it's not going away. And we'll continue to break down the latest on Rittenhouse. We got some audio from him. He's going to be on Tucker tonight. Should be good. Hour two next.